Dot's a remarkable person to me, more than because I love her as my wife. But I love the unshakableness of her life. I love the sort of stand that she takes in her life, and she doesn't waver from what she decided 30-something years ago. She belongs to Jesus. And she's lived like that, and she's lived with this determination that there's more, and she's got to find the more. And she's never given up, and may she for all her life be the one who finds the more, because the more is there to be found. And so it's a special privilege for us this morning to have Dot preach, to bring the Word of God. Let's welcome her.
Well, it's a privilege for me as well. Yeah. There's such a beautiful sense of the presence of God here right now. We just yield ourselves to you, God. We just yield ourselves to you, Holy Spirit. Just come. Come, Lord. Lord, you said over this church right at the beginning, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. And we just want to acknowledge you, Holy Spirit. We just want to welcome you. You've been here, but we ask you to come in a very special way now. We ask you to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, God. Because we want to know you more. Jesus, we want to know you more. Papa, we want to know you more. We ask you to reveal yourself in our hearts today. We ask you for the spirit of to explode in our spirits, God. Oh, enlighten the eyes of our hearts today, God. That by the end of today, God, we won't just go away saying, oh, that was a great morning, but that we will have encountered you in your word, by your spirit, God. We cry out to you. Right now, I just feel the Holy Spirit saying, just with your eyes closed, just ask Father how he sees you this morning. I know that when I asked him earlier this morning, Father just said to me, I delight in you. And I just thank you that you say that over every person here today, that you delight in them. You delight in this gathering that we give you space, Holy Spirit. You delight in our hearts because we chose today when we could have gone anywhere, but we came. Because we wanted to meet with you, God. You delight in that. Oh, we give you glory. And just ask Papa, ask Father, ask Jesus, whoever you relate to most easily, what his thoughts are. Because in the Word, in Psalm 139, it says that he thinks his thoughts about us are as numerous as the sand. Oh, his thoughts towards us this morning are so amazing. His thoughts towards you this morning are just amazing. Every thought that he has towards you is creative and positive. It speaks destiny over your life. Every thought he has towards you is loving and merciful and gracious and kind. But more than that, his smile is upon you this morning. And you know, if there's anything negative, if there's anything in your heart that said, I don't know if he's so pleased with me right now, that is a thought from the pit of hell. And we just take authority right now over every negative thing, over every spirit of unbelief in this place, over everything that stands against the presence of God, the Word of God. We take captive. We just take captive those thoughts right now, those condemning thoughts. They're from the enemy. They're not from God. What God speaks over your life is always beautiful. It's always wonderful. He's crazy about you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you want to open your Bibles to John 16, 15. I've just been living with this passage for so long. I just almost can't get away from it. And Jesus says to us today, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. Anyone kind of aware of the knife at the moment? The pruning knife, the shears. Yeah, that we will be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Zero. Zilch. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. But listen to this. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given you. Isn't that incredible? Doesn't that just ignite on the inside of you? Ask whatever you wish and it'll be given you. We have access into heaven to bring heaven onto the earth. Isn't that amazing? We change atmospheres wherever we go. We are the temples of the living God. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We are the habitation of the Most High God. That is his call on our lives, guys, and especially on this congregation. When James Maloney came here, he said, In this place, you're going to be a habitation of the living God, and His glory will rest on you. That is our calling. That is what we're called for. That is the best calling that anyone could ever have. That His glory rests on us because we're His habitation. And thank you for that last song. We haven't sung it for a while, but it's so amazing that, you know, His presence on the inside of us, that is what is abiding in Him is all about. His presence living on the inside of us so that we carry His presence wherever we go. And we change atmospheres. It just happens, whether we're conscious of it or not. We don't even have to be praying in tongues loudly or anything like that. Just the fact that His presence is within us, we carry His presence. And so He says this amazing statement, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. Ask whatever you wish and it'll be given you. It's like there's Father in heaven, owning the cattle on 1,000 hills, owning all the silver and the gold in the world. And we have access to that place. It's like, you know, what Caleb was saying when he was here in the summer, that when you know who your family is, you can go into the house and you can just go to the fridge anytime you like. You can just take what's there because you belong to the family. And that's with us, with Papa, with Father. He just gives us access to everything that we need. And so He says, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And at the end of that passage, He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. That's our calling. Fruit that will last. I don't know how you see the fruit. How do you see the fruit? What do you think the fruit is? This is a real question. Let's have a bit of dialogue here. Huh? Family getting saved. Great. Are the fruit... What do you think the fruit is? We want to bear fruit, so we want to be intentional about this. We're going to bear fruit. Huh? Sorry, I didn't hear. Character, love, yeah. Fruit of the Spirit, that's right. Anything else? Come. Yeah. Souls are there waiting to be plucked out of hell by us. Amazing. And so he says, if you remain in me, I don't know how you see the remaining in him. You know, some versions say abide in me. Others say stay close to me. Others say stay connected. But I just know that it's not a striving thing. You know, that God is saying, as he said to us in our little prayer meeting this morning, be still and know that I'm God. And not only, that was an Old Testament statement in Psalms, but he is saying to you, be still and know that I'm God within you. I am God within you. The creator of the heavens and the earth is living within you. I mean, I don't know how we're even sitting on our seats. We should be exploding. Holy Spirit, give us revelation. Please give us revelation. Please give us revelation. We need it. Otherwise, we're just going to go home untouched. God, we need you to show us this. It's amazing. If you remain in me, just remaining in him, it's not a striving thing. You know, I got up this morning, I was telling somebody that I got up this morning at 5, and I'd been kind of living with this word the whole week, so I was so excited to preach it. And I woke up at 5, and it was just like dead, and I couldn't find God. I didn't know where he was. And I was saying, oh, and so I lay on the floor, and I repented. And then I got up, and I walked up and down and prayed in tongues in a real kingdom faith manner. And I took authority over everything that could move. And I did everything. And then I thought, okay, I'll put on some worship. And I tried to worship, but then I didn't like that song, so it just irritated me. And it was just a horrible, horrible, horrible morning. And then I went to my computer, and I saw that Joe was on Skype. So I just said, hi, please pray for me. I'm preaching this morning, and I don't know how it's going to go because there's no life on this word. And she said, Mama, just rest. And then she said to me, just ask Papa what I said to you earlier. What does he think of you? So I closed my eyes, and I said, yeah, he's crazy about me. And she said, yes. And what is his thoughts towards you? And he thinks I'm great. So she said, well, that's great. So all you have to do is go and be great for him. It's so easy, you know. But we get into fasting and praying. And I'm not saying that any of those things aren't good. But we've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. So all we have to do is listen to his voice and his promptings deep on the inside of us and learn to connect. You know, Les lives most of the time drunk these days. I'm quite envious because I'm not quite there. And he just sort of switches over into the spiritual realm, you know. He just suddenly, he says, ooh, and off he goes. And then I say to him, well, how do you get there? And I'm sort of striving away. Oh, how do I get there? How do I get there? And you know, it's just that he's right here within us right now. And his the spirit realm is so close. You know, if we, like Elijah or whoever it was, said, you know, open his eyes so that he can see that around here. Now, some people see angels. But guys, I believe we all can. I haven't yet, but I'm going to. I want to encourage you. There's a whole spiritual realm there that is just waiting for us to access it. And I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up the search. You know, just as we don't give up when we don't see people healed. We just press on to know him more. You know, we're not saying, God, you're bad because you didn't heal somebody. We're saying, God, I'm not there yet. I want to get there. I'm not going to give up just because I haven't seen it this time. And so I believe God is just encouraging us to press in, press on, to know him more so that we can access so easily. You know, people say it's like a vapor, this distance between God and us. He's right here. He's breathing right in you, right next to you, right now. Holy Spirit is just here. So that's what remaining in him is all about. Just remaining connected. Now, how do you think we disrupt this connection? You know, I think it's mainly through the enemy in our minds, because that's where the battleground is. You know, he is continually saying things like, Oh, you haven't done enough. That's God isn't pleased with you. Oh, you sinned. Oh, you did that. You know, you're falling short of what God's expecting of you. You're not measuring up. How many of you are plagued with those kind of thoughts, like on a daily basis or on an hourly basis or more? Be honest. Yeah? Yeah? We all are, because the enemy comes at us all the time, and that's what messes up the abiding. And so I believe what we need to be doing the whole time is just saying, is that thought from God or is that thought from the enemy? And it's from the enemy. We don't agree with him, because if we agree with him, we give him power over our lives, over our minds. And then we don't abide, and then we don't see the answers to our prayers. Guys, we have, you know, I was just thinking this morning, like Esther, you know, we have been brought to London, all of us, from various places, all sorts of nations, for such a time as this. You know, we know that the call on this church is prayer and breakthrough and worship and you know, carrying the presence of God. That's our call. And we have access to the throne. And so, like Esther, for such a time as this, we've been brought into the kingdom. And like Esther, the king is sitting there with such passion and love in his eyes towards us. And he's not ever belligerent or difficult or ambivalent. He just always holds out the scepter. He says, come, come. And he said, what did he say to Esther? He said, you can have whatever you like. Half of my kingdom you can have. And I believe that God says that to you today. What are you believing for? What are you expecting for? What do you want to ask for? Because you have access, like Daddy's fridge. You can just tell him right now, God, I have need of this. But we get so jolly religious, don't we? You know, we think, oh, I've got to fast a bit for that, or I better be good for a while. But you know, his healing is right here, right now. Right now, right now, right now. Holy Spirit's right here. If you need healing, just reach out right now. Just reach out. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here. You're so close. You're so close. Oh, just touch bodies, God. Just touch bodies. It's not a big deal. You want to heal. You want to heal every person here. You want to bless every person here. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that when you died on the cross, oh, that amazing song by Misty, arms wide open, heart exposed. That's what Jesus did on the cross for you, for you. His blood pouring out of his side, blood and water pouring out of his side for your healing, for your deliverance, to set you free. It's just amazing. God is just so amazing. And so we have access. And then he says, and if my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. So that's the word of God. But it's the living word of God, you know. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is sharper than a two-edged sword. The word of God. And, you know, this is just amazing, this book. Isn't that a gift? I was just recalling, you know, Les said I've been saved about 30 years. I've been saved nearly 40 years next year. It's amazing. And I got saved here in London, and some of you know my story, but it was amazing because I'd been brought up an Anglican, you know, and so I always had a Bible beside my bed, and I used to read the Word, you know, when I was young. I used to read the Bible. I was quite religious. And then I came to confirmation, and when the bishop was laid his hand on my head so that I would receive the Holy Spirit, nothing happened. And I was so disappointed and so disillusioned, I thought, oh, well, this doesn't work. So then I started looking at other religions and got into all sorts of Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam and all kinds of things, because I knew, you know, I knew that God has to exist. You know, I always say that atheists have much amazing faith, you know. Amazing faith. When I meet an atheist, I always say, wow, I really admire you to have such faith that this whole universe came about through an explosion of atoms. Who created the atoms? That takes faith. Anyway, so I never doubted God, but I didn't know where he was. And I didn't know whether he was in me or whether he was out there or where he was, but I just said, I want to know you. And my story was that I said, God, if you can deliver me from smoking, I was smoking cannabis as well and cigarettes. I said, if you deliver me from smoking, then I'll know that you're real. And he did, straight away. But the amazing thing that I was going to tell you, I haven't gone completely off my subject, was that I bought a Bible because I felt one of the first things that the Lord said to me was, put your cigarettes down the toilet. You don't need them anymore. And I never touched another one ever since. And if anyone smoked, you know that that is a total miracle. And then the second thing I felt him say was, go and buy a Bible. So I went and bought a Bible and I started reading it and I thought, gosh, this is different. I've never seen anything like this. I was brought up with a Bible, but this makes sense. And I just had such a passion for the Word. I remember I started reading James. I didn't even know that there was such a guy called James in the Bible. And I read it and I thought, wow, this is relevant. This really speaks to me, you know. This is amazing. And so it was just like this love letter. And I couldn't get enough of it. And wherever I was in London, I'd carry my Bible with me and hit people over the head virtually and say, do you know Jesus? Because if you don't, you're going to hell. Which I wouldn't do now. But you know, this is a living word. And it's our, what did we sing in that song? This is my bread. This is my daily bread. This is life. And I just want to encourage you guys, you know. You know, I used to try and read the Bible through in a year, and that's great. It's for seasons. But I think much more important is the rhema word that hits your spirit. You know, and that can come about through reading one verse. And I know you're all busy, so even if it takes just one verse and you write it out and you carry it with you all day and you meditate on it and you know, the meditation that the Jews talked about was repeating. It wasn't sort of emptying your mind. It was repeating the word over and over and over. Because as it hits your spirit, faith begins to rise. And you know, this is the Logos, which is the whole Word of God, which is all wonderful and for everything. But then there's a Rhema word that God just speaks into your spirit. And that's the one that sets us free. And that's revelation from the Father heart of God into your spirit. And that's what changes you. And if you're not doing it, I just want to encourage you. Because there are people here who are not free because you've got the Bible in between its covers and you don't read it. And God is saying, this is my word to you. This is my love letter to you. This is my, I just want you to be changed by my word. The word says it divides between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. You know, that's why we're pruned by the word. He said, you're clean you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. And as we just come before him every day and just allow his word to speak into our hearts, it becomes a living thing. It's like Holy Spirit speaks to you. You're not doing it in a slavish way. I've got to read 10 chapters today. It's not that. It's a relationship. So Holy Spirit, speak to me. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation because I want to know you. I really want to know you. I don't want to know you as Les was saying last week, to know him, to have such a connection, such a love relationship with God that is so living and it changes us on the inside. That's what changes us, is his spirit and the word working together in our hearts, changing us so that and that's why I think that God then, when his words remain in us as living revelation, that's when we are in this position where we can just decree things, where we're just partnering with God in prayer because we know his word, we know his heart. And you know, how do you know when you're not abiding? This is a real question as well. How do you know when you're not abiding in the vine? Struggle, yeah. Strife, yeah. No peace. Huh? Frustration, stress, negativity, all that stuff. I was just thinking, you know, we know when we're abiding because we don't experience the fruit of the Spirit. Exactly what you've said. You know, it's stressful. There's no peace. There's no joy. You know, Christians are meant to be the most radiant, joyful people in the whole world. Seriously. Because, you know, God is smiling at us. Wonderful story. Jason Upton, who some of you went to hear the other night, he said he went into his little boy one night, little three-year-old little boy, and he said, "What does God's face look like?" And the little boy closed his eyes, and then he said, "He's smiling." And I think that's fantastic. And that is how God sees us. Isn't that incredible? He's smiling at us. And so we should be smiling too. And Jason Upton wrote a song out of that saying, "Your face, I love your face. There's no gravity. Your face defies gravity. God's always smiling." And so there's really nothing to be miserable about, guys. We've got everything. We've got his presence on the inside of us. We've got his word refining us, changing us, building faith in us. We can ask whatever we like, so we shouldn't really have a problem that lasts more than 10 minutes. Well, I know I'm being a bit naive, but you know what I'm saying. If we've got faith and we're believing, God is moving. He's changing things around us. He's changing people around us. So when I get growly, I wake up in the morning and I'm growly, then I know, and poor Les knows, that I'm not in the Spirit. I'm not abiding in the vine. So what do? Do I just go through a lousy day kicking the dog and every person on the tube and hating everyone and spreading my bad humor everywhere? Or what do? I just go so quickly, so easily. He says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all our sin. If we say we have no sin, but if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and forgives us our sins instantly. Boom, gone. Just gone. And if you had to say to Jesus 5 minutes later, "Oh, that was a lousy thing I did," he'd say, "What? What thing?" Because it's under the blood. Isn't that incredible? And so none of us need to be growly for more than 2 seconds. Seriously. And sadness and you know, the things. I mean, life is tough, and I know that, and I'm not trying to be so frivolous. But, you know, life is tough, but nothing is impossible for our God. Guys, nothing is impossible. And, you know, I spend a lot of time anxiously worrying. That's one of the things I struggle with all the time, because I get anxious and then my shoulders rise up and I get anxious about the church and why weren't they there and what's happening with them and, you know, all of this stuff. And I just feel the Holy Spirit saying, just roll your cares onto me. I care about you. I care. The Holy Spirit said to me the other day, I care about these people a lot more than you do. He really does. And he feels the same about your kids that you're worrying about. And every situation that you're concerned about, his heart is so towards you, so open towards you. And so he just wants you to be in this living relationship with him where we're bearing fruit. And you know, the fruit to me is also souls. Oh, it's beginning to see a change in the tide in this nation. And we are partnering with God for that. Isn't that incredible? Doesn't that make you just want to pray? Just want to get before God? Say, you know, these are the situations I see. This, and this. Holy Spirit, please work in these situations. Won't you do something about it? And he does. Because he says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, just changing you, dealing with forgiveness. You know, one of the things that keeps us out of the blessing of God and out of remaining in him is unforgiveness. Huge thing. I really felt the Holy Spirit quicken it to my heart today. You know, when Peter said, how many times do we need to forgive? And Jesus said 70 times 7. I think that was written for every married couple. Don't you? Because, you know, how many times do you have to this isn't Les. But how many times do you have to forgive him for leaving his clothes lying all over the bathroom? Or leaving the loo seat up when it should be down? Or squeezing or pushing the toothpaste instead of squeezing it? Or, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? But, you know, we've just... In life, we've got to forgive each other frequently, yes? And I tell you what, if you don't, you're not remaining in the vine. And people carry offense for years and years and years and years. And it keeps us from God, from the blessing of God. It keeps us from one another. And it keeps us from having answered prayers. It's incredible. And you know, offense is... I mean, all of us take offense, and Jesus knows this. I mean, we get offended even with God, don't we? Come on, be honest. God didn't answer my prayer. You know, he didn't give me the husband I was praying for. I'm offended with God. And I've told you before, a passage in Jeremiah that the Lord often speaks to me is that thing about if you cleanse your heart, this is in the Amplified Bible, if you cleanse your heart from unworthy suspicions concerning God's faithfulness, you will be my spokesman. God wants spokesmen. He wants prophetic people out there in the marketplace and wherever you are. He wants you to be so tuned to the Holy Spirit that you can speak a word in season to anyone who has a need. He needs encouraging. He wants spokesmen. He doesn't want people to go necessarily to speak his corner and say, "Thus saith the Lord." But he wants all of us to be spokesmen for him at work, wherever we are. But we can't if we've got a mixture in our hearts where we're doubting his faithfulness, you know, because I believe for somebody to be healed of cancer and they died. You know, what do I do with that? Or the pastor let me down, or I'm disappointed, or whatever it is. Then there's a mixture in our hearts, and God can't flow through us, and he can't use us as a spokesman. He can't trust us with his word. So I just want to encourage you guys today. You know, we live in an amazing kingdom. We live in the most exciting time when the darkness around us is getting much darker. We're living in urgent days, really urgent days. You know that. I mean, there was even another earthquake this week, huh, in Burma. Incredible. The earth is groaning and waiting for the sons of God to rise up. And the sons, this is how the sons of God rise up. Carrying the presence of God, carrying his word in our hearts, decreeing. I mean, on Friday night here in our God night, we kind of decreed that there would be not bad violence in the streets yesterday, and it wasn't as bad as it could have been. We are meant to be co-partnering with God, you know, finding out, reading the newspaper with a Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. God, what are you saying? We're meant to be people who have an understanding of the times. What is happening in the world around us right now? How do we pray? And how do we affect it? Because we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, and he's prophetic. He understands everything. He understands the times. He understands what we should be doing. I think I'm going on a bit. So... I think you've probably got the point. Why don't you stand up? Jesus. Yeah. Mark, could you bring the communion stuff, please? Thanks, Lord. Father, we just stand before you today, and God, you know our hearts. You see every heart here. Our hearts are exposed to you, and we want to stand with our arms wide open, in a sense, just giving ourselves to you in a new way today. Holy Spirit, we just surrender ourselves to you, Lord. We surrender our minds to you, our bodies to you, our emotions to you. Lord, if people can be possessed by demons, we want to be possessed by the Holy Spirit in an awesome way. We want you to flow out of our mouths when we speak. We want you to speak to us when we listen. We want you to be our first thought in the morning and our last thought at night. We want to be passionate about you, Jesus. We don't want to be people sitting with one foot in each camp, God. We don't want to have a foot in the world and a foot in the kingdom, God. We want to be completely abandoned, passionate for you, Jesus. That is the calling on this church, God. And we're asking you right now, Holy Spirit, to stir in our hearts, stir faith, God, where there's unbelief, where we're offended with you, where we've lost hope, where we're disappointed. Just give those things to God right now. Just bring your heart. He can see your heart anyway, but just expose your heart to him now and say, God, I'm working through these things right now. Just do business with God right now. And remember, it's just as easy as bringing your sin before him and just saying, please forgive me. And he forgives you straight like that. Pastor Colin said this week at a conference, he said it takes 3 seconds for God to forgive you, to wipe it out. 3 seconds. You don't have to carry it. If you haven't forgiven somebody, just choose to do it right now. Just choose to just let that person go of your judgment. On the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Because they don't know. They don't know what they're doing. And many of you have been hurt by people, and they don't know what they're doing. They don't know because they're so hurt and wounded themselves. Oh, God. Have mercy on us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that your destiny and your purpose for us as individuals and as a church are just amazing. 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 God, we ask you this week, Holy Spirit, teach each of us how to remain in you, how to stay connected with you, how to be your habitation in this world that we live in, God, where people need light, where they need hope, where they need to experience love from your heart through us. God, we just want to be channels this week. We want to be channels of your love to this needy world out there, God. Oh, pour your love into our hearts right now. Holy Spirit, come. Just start to gently just speak in tongues, not in a kind of warfare way, but just in a loving way. Just start to speak to him. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We love you. Tell him you love him. Just break the sound barrier around you. Just say, I love you, Jesus. Say it louder. I love you. Jesus, we love you. Oh, Lord, you're amazing. You're amazing. Your love is so amazing. Your love is just amazing, God. Oh, Rayara Bashentai.